This is GamesAtWork.biz with your hosts, Michael Martin and Michael Rowe. This is episode 10, D20 for Critical Insight.
Hello, welcome to yet another edition of GamesAtWork.biz. This is Michael Martin. I'm here with my co-host, Michael Rowe.
Hello, Michael.
Hello, Michael. And we are ready to rock and game, if you will. We have a...
By the way, what did you think of our new slogan I made up on our website?
Come
play with us.
Love it. Come play with us. I like my D20 for Critical Insight, though. In fact, I was going to bring the dice today so we could roll them and have the rolling sound.
I've got that.
Oh, you have the rolling sound?
Yeah. Remember, I've got the dice.
Oh,
app.
The virtual dice. Yes. Yeah. All right. So
while you look that up, I'm going to find the dice so we can make noise.
While you're looking that up, we would like to spend some time talking about a tweet that came into us at the GamesAtWork_biz Twitter ID from one of our listeners. Oh, there we go.
It doesn't roll enough, though. I want it to roll a little bit longer. You know, you really shake it up.
Yeah, exactly. You need a little bit more than that. Well, I'll bring the dice next time.
Okay.
We'll bring the dice. Bring it.
Bring it on.
So the tweet came in from one of our listeners, and we're looking at an Economist article about work and play, specifically on the gamification of hiring.
Yes.
So...
Our listener, do we want to say who it is?
We could. Or we could just say thank you to his wife.
That's right. Because she lets him listen.
She lets him listen in the car. So thank you, Bill. The gamification of hiring article is a short article from The Economist, and we'll have the link for you as well. So the article focuses on the concept of using serious games, in the hiring practices to help figure out who you might want to bring in. And you know, you and I, Michael, started playing that game not that long ago with what was it, Highlighter, right? Or no, Highlight.
Highlight. Yeah, it's pretty lame, to be honest.
And it didn't do a lot for us.
Didn't do diddly for us. Even when we were in the same area, it took like forever before it finally recognized that we were both in the same location.
Yeah, but still, an interesting idea of a send, receive, broadcast, receive kind of structure. That you could imagine. So anyway, just to focus on that for a second, it was a mechanism so that your friends could recognize you when you're in the same proximity to one another, and then flash a message up on your phone that you're there. And we could see, and I can't remember if we read this in an article somewhere or not, that a Highlighter application like that could be very interesting to people that are going to recruiting Mixer, for example. So if you were to share some basic bits and information about, you know, who you are and what you did, I'm a doctor, I'm a attorney, I'm a person who cups my hands near my microphone, anything like that, that could be shared and discovered by other people in the room, and they might come over and talk to you.
So, yeah, if they really wanted to.
If they wanted to.
They could say, hey, I know you. You're that guy who cups his microphone so that the person sitting on the other side of the table doesn't pick up as much on his.
Right. So the game that they're talking about on this particular article is called Happy Hour. And they say that in this game, you're a bartender and your challenge is to figure out what drink each one of the customers in the people pressing their bellies to the bar, I suppose, and what they want by the expression on their faces. And you have to make those drinks, you wash the glasses, and all within a very time, you know, constrained period. And the idea is, if you do this well, it's a qualifying test, but it's meant to be somewhat kind of fun. But the stakes in a game like this are rather high.
Well, yeah, the stakes are you get a job, right? the thing that I've really found interesting about it is the fact that they're looking for those qualities in an individual through gaming that normally don't come out during a regular interview. So if you're doing a regular interview, the question goes, so how do you handle stressful situations? And you come up with some canned answer that you've worked on for lots of other interviews of, you know, I thrive on stress and the ability to react in a positive manner and build a team and all that other stuff that you would say to sound like, oh, yeah, they'll do well. And then realistically, the person gets in a stressful situation and they're going, ah, right? Yep. And so the idea behind this game is as more and more guests are bellying up to the bar and you're trying to figure out, you know, what do they really want, make the right drink, clean the glass, get the next one going, and deal with this constant inflow of change that is not clear in advance.
Right.
How are you reacting to that? And, you know, I can imagine, not having played the game, that it gets more and more stressful.
Until some point
you're going to fail. You're going to be dropping glasses left and right. You're going to have a bunch of irate customers.
Wrong
and
drinks.
You're going to deal with somebody coming in going, rah, right? And so the idea is to find those non-verbal behaviors on how you deal with stress and other metrics that can only be captured through how you play the game.
Right.
Not how you present yourself in an interview. And what I also found very interesting with this is the company that's developed this game called Knack. And, you know, Get the Knack?
I got the Knack.
I got the Knack, too. Great album.
Paddywhack.
No. Get the Knack is a great album. Anyway, the idea is there are companies that are actually using this game on their existing employees to find a baseline measurement. To then see how new employees can come in and do they fit with the team? Do they have similar or complementary behavior patterns, et cetera, that, again, come out through playing this simulation or this game?
Yeah. And my view is that the analytics that are in the game engine become really important too, because it's the how you play the game and what data is captured about it, right? So I can imagine where progressing through, you know, the big boss level, if there were to be one, maybe is the objective, or maybe it is the how clever and how quickly do you recognize the patterns and are able to attack those patterns and then come up with your own algorithm to solve for them. And you're right, you can't put up a front for this sort of thing. Either you've got the intellectual horsepower, so to speak, to exercise this.
The emotional intelligence is the key that they're looking at.
Yeah, well, right. And this concept game, yeah, there are lots of examples of this that we've talked about before, too. The Ian Bogost Serious Games, for example, I'm reminded of one of the ones that he's highlighted before, the TSA game.
Yep.
Remember that one where you are a TSA agent. You've got a queue of people coming through security. And I think that the words were, if memory serves, arbitrary and capriciously, various articles of clothing are deemed to be excluded or not excluded. So shoes.
Kind of like the real thing.
Well,
like when you're actually going through the TSA, it's kind of like the real thing, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, shoes, you know, have to take your
shoes
off. Yes,
you have to put the baby through the scanner.
or
it might be carrying a noxious substance.
Yeah, you know, babies carry those from
lots of them
from time to time.
Yes, and sometimes they deposit them.
So this game from Knack was supposed to be unveiled on the 28th, and I think we have to, May 28th, so we have to go and hunt it down.
We will be posted after that.
Yeah, so we're looking to find the game and see how this goes.
Yeah, it's cool, because, you know, the other thing they do, you know, it may not be appropriate in your business to encourage you know, playing the game at a bar,
mm-hmm.
right? So let's say you're hiring people for the corporate offices of Alcoholics Anonymous. You probably don't want the bar version, but they have another version of the exact same game that's a sushi restaurant. So you can see the same mechanics. And the other one that I thought was interesting, and I think I've seen a version of this game, I don't know if it was a serious game, Balloon Brigade,
yeah.
where you're putting out fires with, you know, balloons carrying water, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe that was Duck Hunt. No, that wasn't it. But again, the idea is the ability to capture emotional cues, appetites for risk, ability to adapt to changing situation, dealing with patterns and stress, et cetera. And I think that's a great way of leveraging games in the hiring process. And an interesting thing, we were talking about, you couldn't actually game this one,
game
so to
game.
Speak.
Yes.
Game the game, right? And I've continued my reading on the Reality is Broken book, and one of the things they talk about in there, and I think it's in the chapters we've already talked about last week, was the idea that gamers fail over and over and over again, and there's a positive rush there.
Right.
It's because completing the game. After that, it gets kind of boring, right? It's right. It's like there's no additional rush out of it. So actually, the failure with a positive attitude that you can try again and you'll succeed is one of those resiliency factors that is very important in the business world. Mm-hmm. So not every project that you do is going to be successful. I mean, not every project. Okay, most projects.
Most projects
are not going to be successful to the 100% level. So getting the rush out of actually execution of the projects is similar to the game rush of trying again and again. Let's say you were a development team and you only managed one product, and you have quarterly releases. If you think about that, every quarter is a restart of the game.
Sure.
Because you're never done doing that development project unless it's, you know, re-engineered and something else replaces it. So you're kind of going through the same steps over and over, but every time it's different, just like the game. So you get the rush out of the excitement of identifying the requirements, designing the change you're going to do, actually coding, testing, and delivering. But it's not like, okay, we delivered version 3.2.1. That's the big boss. Game over. So you have to get that resiliency, that desire to keep going at it again and again every quarter into the behaviors of the people that you want on your development team.
Sure.
So each individual challenge of maybe it's, you know, writing the next tax algorithm on an e-commerce site, that itself is like a mini boss. Uh-huh. And the fun of figuring out the most efficient way or the easiest to test or, you know, all these different vectors of the challenge is a way of figuring out how to defeat that mini boss in the game of writing an e-commerce site.
True. And if you're doing development like that, there are a series of mini failures that happen along the way too, right? You're trying
to
prototype something.
Yeah.
It didn't work exactly as expected.
I showed you the screen and you go, eh.
Yeah.
Why is the help button at the bottom left after I scroll three pages through, right? Yeah. Shouldn't that always be on the screen at the top or something?
Yeah. So you do get some of those same kind of concepts. And the important thing about games too is that they provide the opportunity for risk taking in a risk neutral or risk free environment. So, you know, you might decide that you're going to walk through the door that looks particularly scary, but you're doing it because there's potentially something interesting there. Or you may try to manipulate all the objects that are on the screen that ordinarily would be background objects, but oh my goodness, there's something new that gets, you know, when you go to the jar, it's like, oh, I thought there would be cookies in there. They're not. There's, you know,
or even more
jar snakes.
You go through the door and 9 times out of 10, you fall off a cliff, right? You know, and each time you fall is slightly different. So there's actually an entertainment factor of, hey, let's go through that door. Let's see how I fail this time. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But with the idea of I fail, it was fun. I learned not to go through the door sideways or not to go through the door on my hands or not to go through the door, you know, with one eye closed. All of those are learning experiences that fun. And the reward is the fact of the cool animation of me falling off the cliff.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
And so if you can take that same behavior into, say, testing of your application, right? I've written this e-commerce tax calculation, right? And every one of those tests to me is an opportunity to enjoy the failure. Because either the test fails, which means I was successful in my code,
right,
and there's enjoyment there, or the code failed the test, and now I have a new challenge of improving to address that challenge.
Interesting.
So it's a double positive failure.
Interesting. Or you might say, well, how would you recognize success and test case success, and that there is a little bit of that Pavlovian bell that comes from passing a test case?
Yes, like Diablo 3, where you're basically going click, 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 click. By the way, have you played much of it? I know you got it recently. A little bit. Pretty fun?
You know, I'm enjoying the beginnings of it. It's got a good interface. I'm remembering my Diablo 2 days.
Mm-hmm. The Diablo 2 habit. It was quite easy to get.
Yeah, well, and I haven't had as much time as I did. How long ago was Diablo 2?
13 years or four. No, 98. 15 years ago.
Oh, gosh, was it that long?
Yeah.
That's a long time.
And everybody played it for like, well, not everybody, but it was playable for years. I remember getting it in 98 because I was doing some consulting work. And part of the team, we were all, you know, 3,000 miles from home.
Right.
And in the evening, would, you know,
meet up on.
Grab some beer, grab some pizza, fire up some Diablo 2, and go kick some
monster
undead
butt.
Yeah. Right. And I remember playing it in the early 2000s, too. So no, it had that long of a play life, even though it was, let's face it, it was a point and click game.
Sure. Yeah, but a leveling up game.
But it was a point-and-click leveling up game with, at the time, pretty cool graphics.
Yes.
And the cutscenes back then were pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
The new cutscenes, oh my God. There are cutscenes where you can see like the sweat dripping down their head, you know, off their brow and the hair blowing. And I mean, it's movie quality cutscenes, and it's all computer generated.
So would it be interesting, just throwing it out there, that if you're doing a test game, right, you know, where you want to reward success for passing test cases, that cutscenes might be a way of having that little bit of reward.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah.
A little cutscene of, you know, the tester, their head blows up because you wrote the code that made it through their test. Wouldn't that be awesome?
It would be kind of fun.
Yeah. You could create little, and so back to development for a second, similar thought. Years and years ago, and I'll tell you the year based if you remember your gaming history.
Yeah.
Do you remember the game Hexen?
No, I'm not sure.
Hexen was basically built on the Quake engine.
Okay.
The very first Quake engine.
Yeah.
But instead of, you know, space marines,
mm-hmm.
You were like, a wizard or a crossbow wielding guy.
Yeah, I didn't play so many of those. I did some of the Doom stuff,
yeah,
and a little bit of Quake.
It was a multiplayer first person shooter set in the world of Magic instead of the world of Space Marines.
Right.
Okay.
Right, yeah.
So years and years ago, the development team that we had, we would work ungodly hours, working late, writing code, getting stuff out, you know, making our deadlines.
Mm-hmm.
And every Wednesday at 6 p.m., the company was shut down at 5.
Right.
Development staff, we, as developers do, we stayed until we were done.
Fueled on pizza and Coke.
Pizza and cola.
Yes. cola.
Yes. I would tell the team, Wednesdays at 6, I'd run up and down the halls going, network stress test. And we would all fire up Hexen and kill each other for about a half hour. Right?
Yeah.
As a reward to all the hard work that everyone's doing. So we actually gained the fact that we were staying late writing code by doing a network stress test.
Yeah. No. And that makes sense. I remember, you know, way back in the day, you know, when we were doing production support at, you know, 2 or 3 a.m. and we wanted to be instantly ready and available. But, thankfully, there weren't problems coming through. I remember firing up You Don't Know Jack.
Yes,
around,
and putting it on the big overhead.
Putting it on the big overhead, projecting it up on the screen, and playing a few rounds of that particular game. That was good fun.
That it was, and you know what? We didn't know Jack.
That was a fun game.
Cool.
Well, so I'm really pleased that we're starting to get some traffic on our Twitter ID and some suggestions of some of the fun things we ought to be talking about. So, Bill, thank you, and thanks again to your wife for letting you listen.
Yep. And also, you know, we're going to, again, do a short show this week, but we do want to thank everybody who's come over to our new website at gamesatwork.biz. We also have created forums over there for you to interact with the co-hosts here at gamesatwork.biz/forums. Sign in, do an introduction of yourself. We have an intro section where we're posting, you know, hey, I'm Michael and idogamesatwork.biz. We have successfully set up our Facebook page at facebook.gamesatwork_biz, I think. It'll be in the show notes.
It'll be there.
Twitter we already mentioned. So
and you know, we actually
had a Google Plus page for a long time now.
Yeah, we have. And we have something on the forums. So, you know, this will probably make a good conversation for our next show.
Excellent.
So we have something already. Open source CRM using gamification. So thank you.
Excellent.
Thank you, Maz44.
Excellent. So we're getting some traffic. We're getting some stuff out there. We're excited that we finally made it through our website transition problems.
Takes a little while.
We do have an official iTunes feed set up now. So if you've been subscribing to us over at the Dog Ear Nation feed, please do a search on iTunes for Games at Work, and you'll see both Dog Ear Nation and gamesatwork.biz. Subscribe to gamesatwork.biz. Rate us. Provide feedback. We'd love to hear from you, and we'll be talking to you soon.
Awesome.
Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to gamesatwork.biz, the podcast about gaming technology. We are part of the Blueberry Podcasting Network, and you can follow us at Twitter at gamesatwork_biz. We'd like to thank the guys at Zebes Systems for their rocking version of the Moon Patrol game theme.